Mr. Island, good morning to you.
Good morning. Let me get my water.
You may proceed.
Ranching and farming is the lifeblood of Nebraska life. And the idea that livestock and animals are not part of that lifeblood and not entitled to protection does not seem consistent with our beliefs of this agriculture and ranching opportunities. And with that, we think that the catch-all provision of the choice of evils does apply when it comes to protecting livestock if it's in the appropriate circumstances. I think when you look at the statute, what it does is it talks about is that this is when nothing else applies, and it talks about all the other justifications for self-defense, defense of others, and defense of property. Defense of property, and they've included that in the way that they've defined it. In addition, they also added that if the legislature has a purpose to exclude the justification, does not otherwise plainly appear. And that's the problem here, is there is no indication that plainly that the justification when it comes to protecting animals, livestock, does not apply.
Well, first, you're talking about 28-1407, correct?
I am.
And sub 1 says conduct that the actor believes to be necessary to avoid a harm or evil to himself or another.
Well, that's right. That's how it initially discusses it.
So that's an initial requirement, though, right? The actor has to be acting to avoid harm to himself or another.
I think that's not actually correct, because then you have to read the rest of it, which talks about, if you look at the sub B, which talks about all the other justifications. If it doesn't fit within those, then it doesn't. Then you get to turn to this section for justification defense. And then you look at sub C, where it plainly appears that the legislature has excluded it. And I don't think when you look at the statutes, and then you look at various history of the cases, that that would apply. The cases that I read always talk about the justification, the evil. You know, are you making a choice of harms that you believe was reasonably necessary and there was no other alternative available to you?
Is the harm limited to physical harm?
I don't believe so.
In our case law or statutorily either?
I don't believe so. I guess I didn't think of it that way, so I haven't looked at it. If you'd like me to supplement my brief, I'd be more than happy to.
It was just a question. Thank
well,
you.
Well, no, I just want to make sure, because sometimes I don't think of issues and it may be important. And what I looked at is when you look at how important this is and how they evaluate it is whether it applies. And then the cases generally talk about in general, and they do generally apply to people, but that's why I think the Wells case is so important in this interpretation, because that was a defense of property request. And in that case, while the court denied the request, they didn't say it was because it was defense of property. This is a person who's trying to protect his farm from erosion and equipment and other things that are happening. What they said is, you had other civil remedies available to you. And I think that tells us that this justification and choice of evils is applicable to more than just defense of another, because it covers, it's basically, it really does look like it's a catch-all. When nothing else applies, we're going to apply this situation. And when we're talking about the death of animals, calves, multiple calves that were on the line, and there was no other good that Mr. Schmaltz could do, I think that's part of
it. So are you arguing that we should limit the interpretation of another to cattle? People and cattle?
Well, people and animals. Living things. I think living things are important, and I think in our society, and especially in an agricultural community, that is essential and important and part of our way of life. And I think the legislature...
Does that include trees?
I guess I wouldn't go that far. When I say living, I'm thinking of animals, whether it be horses, cattle, potentially even dogs, cats. Those are the things that...
Mammals is your...
I don't know. I have not thought of it. Mammals maybe might be reasonable, but...
Fish?
That's not a mammal necessarily. So,
well,
I understand...
The legislature didn't use that word, though, did they?
That's true, and...
Another what? Another person?
Another person could be, but I think in this case, the way they've defined the rest of the statute indicates that it's really a choice of harms between one evil and another. That when you're faced with two bad choices sometimes, you, in the instance, some people make decisions, and that can be justifiable in that instance.
Isn't the language of the statute comparing the word another to either actor or himself?
Yes. That's the initial portion.
So your argument is that mammals or some subset of living things the legislature intended despite using just the word another?
I think so because of the rest of the statute. There's a conflict within it between not otherwise plainly appear, to exclude the justification does not otherwise plainly appear. I don't think it plainly appears to this circumstance. And part of it is they said, if it's not included in the other justification defenses, which includes defense of property.
You keep going to subsections A, B, and C.
Yes.
But we only get to A, B, and C if one is met, correct? It says provided that. So it says it's justifiable provided that. So don't you have to show that this was necessary to avoid a harm to himself or another in order for us to even get to subsections A, B, and C?
And so what is the term harm? I mean, that's what I'm looking at. I think this is a harm where you're looking at loss of livestock. That is a harm.
So a financial loss to another?
I don't know. That's a good question. And that does provide some interesting twist. I'm not worried about those other ones. I'm worried about this one here today. Livestock seems pretty clear to me. I mean, if I have horses and I have cattle and I live in ranching country, that is vital to my survival.
Wow. So are you saying under sub 1, a harm to himself is the harm of losing money?
It could be, or I'm having a hard time. It is. It's a hard time I'm having defining because I'm looking at all the definitions that talk about choices between evils, about making a choice between one harm versus another, and that they didn't exclude property as part of their explanation. And so financial could be a part of that consideration if we're talking what kind of risk we're talking about. And this is an instruction. It's for the jury to decide whether it's justifiable or not. But whether or not we're entitled to the instruction is the issue or the question.
Counsel, let's back up even farther. The statute that we're talking about appears under the statutes that address justification for use of force. Is
yes.
there any force at issue in this particular crime? And if not, does this choice of evil statute even apply factually?
I think the force of driving away is a force, of hauling away these cattle. I mean, force seems to be a term that is so broad. You know, when we talk about burglary, it's the mere pushing open of an opening. So I think it could apply in this circumstance for that term under force. And that's, I guess, not something I had contemplated, but I think it would apply. Sorry, I heard the beep. I didn't realize it was the 2 minutes. Are there any other questions about that? I'd just like to briefly touch on the prosecutorial misconduct for a mistrial. I mean, this explanation that I don't know black letter hearsay law that I can't use, somebody's insurance company who told me they wouldn't cover it, seems to be ludicrous, and no insurance is important when you're trying these cases about how people feel about that.
What is our standard of review?
It's an abuse of discretion, Your Honor. Has
there ever been a finding of prosecutor misconduct in this type of situation in any other Nebraska case?
I haven't seen one. I'm not saying it hasn't been done.
Or anywhere else?
I'm sure there's probably anywhere else in 50 states, so I'm sure it's probably been done somewhere.
But you don't have anything you can point us to right now?
No, I don't. Okay. I'll reserve the remaining time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Liss, good morning to you.
Good morning. May it please the Court, Nathan Liss, Assistant Attorney General, appearing on behalf of the Appalachian State of Nebraska. The state maintains that Schmaltz is not entitled to relief on either of his claims. As far as the first claim, the choice of evils instruction, we maintain that it was properly denied because the defense was legally and factually inapplicable in this case. It was legally inapplicable because our statutes as well as our case law established that the defense applies only to the protection of human life. The statute itself, 28-1407, has been discussed, applies to conduct which the actor believes to be necessary to avoid a harm or evil to himself or another. Something in that language which says or suggests it applies to property, we see no basis to read that into the statute, especially when, as we noted in our brief, we have other statutes that deal with use of force and justification pertaining to property. As far as the questions, I guess, regarding the type of harm that this might encompass, I suppose that's probably the best possible angle for the appellant here. But I still think we'd be reading language into that statute. It doesn't say that it applies to any type of harm or any harm which may affect a person or another. It just says harm to another, or to himself or to another. So I think that based on the plain and ordinary reading of that statute, it's going to apply only to human life. Just briefly, as far as the appellant's arguments in brief and here today about this sub B being a catch-all.
Mr. Island cites to an earlier case, I believe, State versus Wells from this court. How does that figure into this, if at all?
As noted in our brief, I think Wells supports our conclusion that this is legally inapplicable here. When you look at Wells, I mean, as Mr. Island has pointed out, part of the court's rationale for finding that evidence was properly excluded was that there were other civil remedies. But in Wells, I mean, this court did go through and look at whether the choice of evils defense applied to property and found that it didn't, and said that that's not a legally cognizable theory of justification. So the evidence in that case, as court concluded, was irrelevant and properly excluded. So I think that my reading of Wells would say that our case law, along with our statute, plain and ordinary reading of our statute, would say it was legally inapplicable here. Just briefly on the catch-all argument, I think Justice Patrick's questions were right on point. We don't get to subsection B unless we get through the first provision of sub 1, and I don't think that we do. It applies only to himself or another. It's going to contemplate human life. We don't just blow past that provision and just dump down to the subsections and say it's a catch-all without applying subsection 1.
What about Justice Stacy's question about whether this choice of evils statute applies here because was there a use of force?
Yeah, and I didn't, admittedly did not look back into that. I've looked into that before, and I recall having that discussion with Judge Bishop in a case, and I don't think our case law has clearly weighed in on that, and I guess I've never necessarily read the interplay of these two specifically require use of force, and I don't want to necessarily take a hard and fast position on that, but I mean, certainly when you look at 28-1407 on its face, it doesn't require use of force, so you'd have to be roping in that other provision and
well, off the why country. Why do you think it was placed in the statutes under a heading that says use of force?
Well, I mean, it could be that that's what the legislature intended. I can't recall the whole statutory scheme here well enough to remember if that initial provision with the use of force says that it encompasses the entire sequence of statutes.
Headings, however, are placed there by the reviser of statutes, not the legislature, correct?
Right. I thought we were talking about, I think there is some language in one of the first statutes that deal with use of force that talks about, or at least could contemplate the idea of use of force being a requisite. I mean, the actual language, not the heading, but some of the language. I just, off the top of my head, I can't recall exactly what that says clearly enough. I know that Judge Bishop had an opinion on that, and I can't recall if that really... I don't recall our case law requiring that, and when I read the statute on its face, it doesn't seem to require, or it doesn't require use of force, so I guess I'm just not prepared to take a position with that. Is in fact required, but if this court concludes otherwise, we will adhere to your clarification on the matter.
Did the Wells case involve the use of force?
Well, it involved use of force toward property. He went and destroyed his neighbor's property that was doing damage to his property.
Is there any way to construe the facts in this case to involve the use of force?
I don't think so. It, by all appearances, and I think based on the record, it was just an accident. Technically, as a matter of physics, an accident involves force, but I don't think there's any evidence that he
the crime
intentionally
didn't involve
exerted him. Any force against the victim. Just briefly, in the event that this defense were legally viable, we would submit it was not warranted by the evidence because Schmaltz failed to establish he was dealing with an actual specific harm to the cattle he was hauling. According to his own testimony, he didn't even get out of his semi and look at the cattle in his trailer. He just looked in his mirror and saw that there were cows with their noses higher than usual, so he assumed he had cattle down and needed to get out of there. We would submit that this did not amount to a specific and imminent harm, let alone a sufficient harm that justified leaving the scene of a wreck in which the victim's vehicle had just been completely totaled. So we would submit that the instruction was not appropriate legally or factually in this case, and that it was properly denied. Just briefly, if there are no further questions on that matter, just briefly on the mistrial regarding the insurance charge, we maintain that a mistrial was not warranted on that issue. The record reflects that the prosecutor did have a good faith basis for pursuing that charge. She just didn't adduce sufficient evidence to support it.
Did the court take any steps to address the no insurance charge?
It did. Because the evidence at trial established that he did, in fact, provide the officer with valid registration insurance. Upon that being raised or pointed out at the motion dismissed, the court granted a directed verdict on the insurance charge, and then after granting the directed verdict, it instructed the jury, or informed the jury, that it had the charge had been dismissed by the court, and then it instructed the jury not to concern itself, not to concern themselves with that charge. So we don't see how Schmaltz suffered any prejudice from the state's unsuccessful pursuit of that charge in this case, and we maintain that a motion for mistrial was properly denied. If there are no further questions, we would ask you to affirm the judgment of the district court. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal?
1 minute and 6 seconds.
Mr. Island.
In looking at the statute, it talks about conduct, not about force. And it talks about conduct the actor believes is necessary to avoid a harm or evil. That's the title of it. And then it goes into the A, B, and C. That's all part of the sub 1. All an indication, I think, that we're talking about choice of evils and making decisions out when people make decisions maybe that we disagree with but could be justifiable based upon their conduct.
Counsel, how does the statute define actor in 28-1406 sub 4?
I don't know. I don't have that in to look at it.
The statute says actor shall mean any person who uses force in such a manner as, and then it goes on.
Okay.
Is that significant?
Maybe as an actor, except for they're also referencing conduct here. And conduct isn't limited to force. Conduct is action.
Is your client the actor?
I would say he'd have to be the actor.
Did he use any force?
Like I said, I think that term is so broad. He could be the mere fact of driving away could be the use of force in this case because he's using force to protect the animals. So I think that we've met it, that they should have been given the instruction. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next case.